I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Of all the contentious bills in the legislature this past session, New Hampshire's voter ID law was one of the most contentious. Earlier this year, state lawmakers approved a bill that said anyone wishing to cast a ballot had to first show photo identification. Governor Lynch vetoed the bill, saying its requirements might be too onerous for some voters. But in June, the legislature overrode that veto while rewriting the bill to address some of the concerns the governor and elections officials had raised. Still, that wasn't the end of the story. The U.S. Justice Department also had to approve the law due to a quirky provision of the 1960s Voting Rights Act. And then, just last week, the feds gave New Hampshire's law the okay. So now city and town clerks are getting up to speed on what this new law means. Importantly, for us in New Hampshire today, the photo ID requirement is not in place for the primary election, but will apply for the general election in November. Today in The Exchange, we vet the new voter ID law, and we begin with State Senator Russell Prescott of Kingston. He's prime sponsor of the voter ID law now on the books. And Senator Prescott, welcome. Thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, as I remember, this bill was much debated, much discussed, many different versions passed back and forth. What were some of the factors, Senator Prescott, that made this so complicated?
Well, it started out as being a provisional ballot bill in 2011, and I supported the governor's veto of that measure. It would have had people needed to come back within a few days to have their vote count. I thought that was inappropriate, and we tried to get support for federal approval from the Department of Justice, and I don't think that would have made it. So I voted to sustain the governor's veto of that version of photo ID.
So the early version said, look, if you don't have an ID, you got to get a provisional ballot and come back in a couple days. That sounds like it would complicate counting efforts, right? Was that the problem?
That is true. And I would like to have it so that the people that go to the polls, they don't have an ID, that they would still be able to vote. They would sign a challenge voter affidavit and then give it a voucher to receive a Department of Motor Vehicles photo identification card.
So let's get into then what it says now, because as I understand, you and other senators sat down with city and town clerks and the Secretary of State's office and said, okay, what are your concerns and how can we work around them? Just give us a broad sense, Senator Prescott, of what this final version looks like and how it tried to address everybody's concerns.
A big concern was education, to make sure that people understood what was happening with this new law. There were other laws passed by other states that had judicial interruption of them because there wasn't enough education. People wouldn't be given enough time to understand that they need to bring an ID in the process of getting an ID. So we made it a gradual phase in. This bill that did pass, working with the clerks and the Secretary of State with broad support, is a gradual procedure to ultimately having a photo ID required to vote. And the gradual part is this: today, the primary, you'll be asked for your ID. If you don't have it, they'll be giving you an informational card and tell you that in November, the ID will be required, and you'll get a voucher if you need one, and so you'll have your ID for the general election. And it all came about because we'd like to see the election system a little bit tighter on being able to make sure the person that votes is who they say they are, so that every vote counts and is just as important as the next person that walks in the door. Everyone has their vote, and their vote counts, and not be watered down by potential for somebody not voting properly.
So folks who come in today and don't have an ID, that's fine. They'll still be able to vote, but they'll get a voucher to be able to get a free, from what I understand, Senator Prescott, a free voter ID card at their local DMV, Division of Motor Vehicles. Is that right?
That is correct. And they would just walk in and be asked if you already have an ID or not, and if they do, they won't need to use the voucher, and they'll be explained how they can use their existing ID.
You know, Senator Prescott, you said your motivation with this bill was to make the system a little tighter, to make sure that our voting rights weren't watered down by people impersonating others. How much evidence is there that voter fraud was a problem in New Hampshire elections? As I'm sure you know, critics have said, look, this is a bill in search of a problem, that there really isn't a problem. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's true that there's only been a couple of instances where it was actually caught. The problem was that there was no verification of a person coming to vote. So I think that if there was a problem with people fraudulently voting, this will be a safeguard, and people have more comfort knowing that there's a safeguard, that it would be tougher to make that attempt to commit voter fraud.
And I know, Senator Prescott, you've heard from people who say, look, these voter ID bills will discourage certain groups of people from going to the polls, minorities and poor people. What do you think? Are you concerned that some folks will say, oh, I don't have an ID and it's too complicated, I don't want to be singled out, and just forget it?
I don't believe that's the case, because people in New Hampshire really value the ability to vote, and they take it seriously. And I believe that people will, with the education that's involved with this bill, earmarked by the federal approval process by the Department of Justice as constitutional, I believe they're going to feel comfortable that, you know, this is just a way of safeguarding from more mischief happening than needs to happen, and we can double check.
One more question for you, Senator Prescott.
Sure.
As we said, today's kind of a ramp up to this requirement coming in the November elections. What are you going to be watching for today as, again, that sort of dry run before we go into November? What are you going to be looking for?
All right. This morning I talked with, when I went in to vote, they said, you know, this is going to be a little bit more work that we're going to have to do at the checklist, but it's well worth it. That was one response. Another response was, I left my ID in the car, but now I know I have this little card that tells me what's going to happen for next election. So those are two anecdotal pieces of information that made me feel comfortable that we are having a gradual initiation of the voter ID bill.
Well, Senator Prescott, thank you very much. I know it's a busy day for you, so I appreciate you taking the time.
You betcha. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Russell Prescott, GOP state senator from Kingston. Again, he was the prime sponsor of the voter ID law. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. 1-800-892-6477. We're going to spend the hour looking at this new voter ID law, what it means for the elections 6 weeks away. And we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about this law? Are you someone who doesn't have an ID? Will this discourage you from voting, or do you plan to now go out and get one? And if you've already been to the polls today, did you notice any changes yet? Was there any discussion of this law at your polling place? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post your comments on our Facebook page. Joining us for the hour is David Scanlon. He's New Hampshire Deputy Secretary of State. His office oversees state elections, among other duties. And Dave Scanlon, I know it's a busy day for you too, so I appreciate you coming in.
Well, good morning, Laura. It's nice to be here.
Well, even though this isn't in effect for today, as we talked about with Senator Prescott, what are we already seeing at the polls as people go in for early voting?
Well, the legislature passed a law that phases in a photo ID requirement. And that legislation actually intended that the September primary today be a dry run in helping to educate voters that that this is going to be a requirement in the future. So voters going to the polling place this morning will be asked to present one of the acceptable forms of ID. If they don't have one, then they will be handed an explanatory document that explains the new law. I voted in my polling place this morning on my way in, and I was pleasantly surprised to see voters actually pulling the IDs out of their wallets as they were approaching the check-in table. And the law seems to be working.
As people who don't have IDs get that explanatory card, as you said, Dave, do they also get that voucher that Senator Prescott talked about that allows them to go to the DMV and say, hey, give me a free ID?
The voucher will be issued by the town clerks and the city clerks to those voters whose name appear on the checklist and who assert that they do not have one of the other acceptable forms of ID. In the future, the acceptable forms of ID will shrink, and we're asking local election officials to be aware of those voters that do not appear to have one of the IDs that will be left standing in the end and issue those vouchers. There will not be too many towns issuing those today because the Division of Motor Vehicles is not ready yet to issue those IDs. And so we're holding off until they give us the go-ahead to say we're ready, and then we will issue them.
I see. So you're not issuing those free ID vouchers just yet because DMVs aren't ready.
That's right.
I see. And just real quickly, Dave, give us the list of acceptable forms of ID in November. Again, not required today, but for November, what do you need to carry with you?
So the acceptable forms of ID will be a driver's license from any state, even if it's expired, a non-driver photo ID card issued by the New Hampshire Division of Motor Vehicles, a U.S. Armed Services ID card, a U.S. passport, even if that's expired, and then a valid ID that is issued by any federal, state, county, or local government. So if the Merrimack County Nursing Home issues an ID to their employees, that would be acceptable. If the City of Manchester issues an ID to their employees, that would be acceptable. And then a valid student ID card. Any other photo ID that would be deemed acceptable by the moderator, the town clerk, or the supervisors of the checklist. An example of that might be a hospital in your town or a major corporation that issues IDs. Those election officials could determine that that's acceptable. And then finally, if a voter voter's identity can be verified by the moderator, the town or city clerk, or the supervisors of the checklist, that would also be considered an acceptable form of ID.
Really,
for 2012.
I know this person. Joe's lived across the street from me for years and years.
That's right.
Wow. I'm guessing in 2013 that won't be good enough.
In 2013, and we don't want to talk too much about 2013 so we don't confuse people, but the IDs that will be left standing will be a driver's license, a non-driver photo ID, a U.S. Armed Services ID card, a passport, or the voter ID card, which is being put together by DMV. Those documents can be expired, but for a period of no greater than 5 years.
All right. We will talk more after a short break and take a lot of your questions and comments. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Email is exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page, and we'll be right back.
Good morning, it's 9:19, and more on New Hampshire's new voter ID law on the exchange on NHPR and a 10 on the Diane Rehm Show. More on voting laws in the 2012 presidential race. NHPR is more than our daily broadcast. You can check out our website to listen back to a story you might have missed or only caught a part of. Find more information or related stories about something that interests you. Subscribe to podcasts, learn about special events. There's always something more at nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Raff Young and Pignatelli, celebrating 25 years of innovative client-focused solutions for businesses and nonprofits throughout New England, rafflaw.com. And Antioch University, New England and Keene, offering master's programs in counseling and dance movement therapy. Information at antiochne.edu. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, New Hampshire's new voter ID law and what it means for the November election. IDs are not required for today's primary. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. What basic questions do you have about what this law will mean for New Hampshire's elections and at the polls in November? If you're somebody who doesn't have an ID, will this discourage you from getting out and voting, or do you now plan to go out and get an ID? If you've been an elections worker, what have you seen at the polls? And if you've already voted today, did you notice any changes yet? Did you hear any discussion about this voter ID law? Our number is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Dave Scanlon is with us for the hour. He's New Hampshire's Deputy Secretary of State. His office oversees state elections. And Dave, let's go to some of our callers now. Stephanie's joining us from Portsmouth. Hi, Stephanie. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I just wanted to call in and share that I voted this morning. I voted without my ID. I took the affidavit. And I have to say, or the information informing me that I would need my ID in the general election, On September 11th, a day when our democracy was targeted, in part because it's such an open and remarkable process, I'm really discouraged that this voter ID law is going to prevent low-income people and others from showing up at the polls, people who don't have a vehicle to get to the DMV to get a voter ID. It feels to me like, you know, in fact, this isn't a real issue, that we haven't had a problem in this state with voter fraud. And yet, because of this law, we're going to discourage people from participating in the democracy. And that's part of what makes this country and New Hampshire such a great place to live and work. So
Stephanie, can I ask you a couple quick questions? Because, again, it's primary day, so it's a big deal. First of all, do you not have an ID at all, or you just forgot it?
Oh, no, I had it. It was in my car, and I was there with my first grade son who was rushed to get into class.
Sure.
And so I didn't bring it in with me. It was in my vehicle. And so I ended up voting without showing it.
Well, what else did you see at the polls in terms of either information given or other people having questions?
Well, everyone was asking, you know, all of the folks who were working at the polling place were asking for folks to show ID. When you don't have an ID to show, they give you a small white sheet of paper that explains the new voter ID law. And they, you know, it reminded me that I would need an ID in the general election in November.
Yeah. So if you were standing in line, you left your ID in the car, you go back to your car. Do you have to get back to the end of the line again, I guess, huh, Stephanie?
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much for me about waiting in line.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking about the people who don't have an ID, who had a hard enough time getting to the polling place in the first place. I mean, for me, I did have an ID in the car. I had a son who was going to be late for first grade, so I wanted to just, you know, get my vote in and counted and be on with my day.
Sure.
And so, frankly, it won't be an issue for me. I have a valid ID, but I'm worrying about all the folks who don't have a valid ID, who don't have transportation, for whom getting to the DMV to get a free ID is just one more barrier that will prevent them from showing up and voting.
And okay. And Stephanie, yeah, thanks a lot for calling in. I want to get Dave Scanlon on this real quick. Dave, first of all, let's say I'm Stephanie and I show up and, oh my gosh, I don't have my ID and I don't feel like rushing back to the, or I have to rush back to the car and get it. Do I have to get to the back of the line again?
No, so the law is designed so that any voter whose name appears on the checklist is able to vote on the day of the election and have that vote count along with all of the other ballots that are cast that day. The voter who does not have an ID gets to fill out a challenge voter affidavit starting in November at the general election, and that's an opportunity that exists in perpetuity. So even if a voter does not go out and obtain a free ID through the voucher process, they still get to vote simply by filling out the affidavit. The other thing that's important to remember is that the absentee balloting process does not change. So those voters that might be in elderly homes or nursing homes that historically have voted by absentee ballot because they're infirmed and they can't get out, or those voters who are working all day while the polls are open and can't get to the polls, can still vote by absentee. That process has not changed.
So if you're one of those people that Stephanie mentions who doesn't have a car or are too elderly and infirm to go out to the DMV and get one, or maybe you live in an extremely rural area, you just vote by absentee? Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Well, there are specific reasons by which you can vote. You have to vote by absentee. You're ill that day or infirmed. a religious observation. You're out of town. Or if you're at work during the entire time the polls are open, you are eligible to vote by absentee ballot.
And what are the ID requirements for absentee balloting?
Once a person's name is on the checklist, there is no ID requirement to vote by absentee ballot. However, the voter that applies for an absentee ballot must sign the application with their signature. When they receive their absentee ballot, they cast their votes, put it in the affidavit envelope, which also contains a place for their signature, and their signature is on their voter registration form. So the check there is that all of those signatures can be compared to make sure that they are identical and at least appear to be from the same person.
Again, our number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or join us with your questions about this new voter ID law at 1-800-892-6477. I want to bring another voice into our conversation. Buzz Scher is with us. He's a professor at the UNH School of Law, and he's been looking at voter ID as well. Buzz, thanks a lot for taking the time.
My pleasure to be on.
What are you hearing from your students about this law, Buzz? That's been a population that has had some concerns about voter ID.
Yeah, I think students around New Hampshire, I've heard from a number of students who are concerned that they're going to get hassled when they go to the polls. I mean, there's already history of this. Up in Hanover, an election or so ago, one of the parties decided to challenge every person who looked like a student who was seeking to vote, challenging their domicile statement. And it backed up the line at the polls in Hanover tremendously. So students are a particularly vulnerable population in this. And I've talked to a number of students here at the law school who live in New Hampshire now to go to law school, are from another state, and they're concerned that they're just going to get hassled. It's not, and just the voter ID is another layer of hassle that some of them were already having inflicted upon them. So that's,
well, Senator Prescott, the sponsor of this bill, spoke passionately about the need to make sure that every person's vote counts, that it's not watered down by cheaters. So, you know, I'm just wondering, Buzz, is there some middle ground to address the concerns you have and the concerns he has?
Before the voter ID was passed, we were at the middle ground. There's no evidence that there is voter fraud occurring. There's a, I believe it was a Brennan Center study out of NYU that said either one in every 5 million or one in every 15 million votes are cast by people who are not the people they claim to be. So there's no problem. Even I think it was in 2010, a conservative activist named James O'Rourke tried to vote as a dead person in New Hampshire, and there was a dead person still on the checklist. He was not allowed to vote. So even that effort to prove that there was voter fraud failed. I think the middle ground is the way it used to be. This is a kind of turns the expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This is a if it ain't broke, fix it kind of situation.
Well, Buzz, it's been pointed out that you do need an ID for just about everything in life these days. You know, I mean, most people never leave home without their wallets or their ID. So is this really that troublesome to ask for an ID at the polls?
Yes, it is. When there's no need for it, it costs the state money. There are populations. There are some of the polls where the people who are the polling officials will still are still trying to understand what the requirement is, and minority populations and homeless populations, elderly populations, don't have as easy access to the material that you need to get an ID. So I think it is a problem. And if, you know, 200 people, only 200 people decide not to go to the polls because they're worried about the ID issue, that's 200 more people than will have voted fraudulently in New Hampshire, best we can document.
Best we can document, although we don't really know.
Well, you know, we don't really know, to put a sharp point on it, we don't really know that there's not going to be a terrorist attack at any of the polling places in New Hampshire today.
You know, Buzz, one more question for you. There's a saying going around these days, there's an app for that. And you've come up with an application that people can download to their iPhones and other devices to help them out if they run into trouble at the polls. What is that? How does it work?
Well, we're not just complainers. We actually want to help people out. So the New Hampshire Civil Liberties Union has put together an app that does two things. It educates voters and those who want to register to vote what they need to have when they go to register or when they go to vote in terms of registration documents or photo ID documents. The second thing it does is it allows people who have smartphones, understandably a limited population, but people who have smartphones, when they're at the polls and they're getting hassled and they don't understand what's going on and they feel embarrassed and they feel intimidated, they can, using the smartphone, call the Attorney General's voter hotline and say, here's what they're telling me, what's going on, and get help from the Attorney General's office. Or They can video the encounter with the polling official and email it to the New Hampshire Civil Liberties Union to show them what's going on and seek help from them. Or they can just email the New Hampshire Civil Liberties Union, and someone will be on staff to either funnel those problems to the Attorney General's office or help resolve them in another way. So it's what I would call a voter empowerment tool for Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Green Party, Free Staters, whoever.
But I'm guessing some of the folks that are said to be less likely to have ID, low-income elderly, you mentioned homeless people, those are probably not the type of folks who can afford a smartphone.
Elderly populations, for a host of reasons, tend not to be high smartphone users. The low-income populations and minority populations tend actually to be more smartphone users than one would think. Student populations tend to be high smartphone users. So it's a... It's not a perfect solution to the new problems created by this voter ID law, but it's a partial solution.
You know what, Buzz? People talk about how important voting is and how it's a fundamental right, and you've said we don't want this fundamental right to be infringed. But if it's so important, is there an argument, tell me what you think, that, hey, it's important, you want your voice heard, travel a couple miles, spend a couple bucks, get the ID?
Yeah, people said the same thing about literacy requirements in the early part of the 20th and in the middle of the 20th century for voting. I mean, over the centuries, we have had any number of, hey, it's not that hard to do this, so you have to do this before you vote. The goal is to make it as easy as possible for people to vote, and this is an impediment that didn't used to exist to solve a problem that doesn't exist.
All right, Buzz. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Buzz Scher, professor at the UNH School of Law in Concord. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Post a comment on our Facebook page or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. As I said, David Scanlon is with us, New Hampshire Deputy Secretary of State, and we're taking your questions about this new voter ID law, which, by the way, ID is not required today in the primary, but it will be required in the general election in November. And Dave, let's go back to our callers. And Susan's been waiting in Londonderry. Hi, Susan. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. My concern is, earlier in the morning, they made an announcement, you guys made an announcement on the news, that 22% is expected to come out today to vote, which is a low percentage. In November, hopefully, the percentage will be much greater. And with that, the demand for ID will be presented to these people who might not be aware of it. What is going to be done to inform those people what they need to bring?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. So lots of people won't vote today, but they will vote in November. So they're not getting the benefit, Susan, of that education effort.
Who's going to educate them?
Okay, great question. Dave Scanlon, go ahead.
So the legislation that was passed requires the Secretary of State's office to implement a number of educational strategies. And they're not high profile by any means. They do involve posting information on our website, putting up posters in the towns, and going out and trying to solicit public service announcements from media within the state of New Hampshire. We've attempted to take that one step further and have been active up until this point by going out and speaking not only with local election officials on the requirements of the new law, but also talking to voter groups around the state to help inform them of the new law. There have been quite a few articles written in the media about the requirements. They have been contacting our office for information, and we expect that that will continue right up until the November election.
Susan, thanks for the call. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Dave, got a couple emails I'd love to share with you. This is one from Michael. He says, I am an itinerant activist for public school improvement, living and traveling by canoe. What of people who live in a tent, car, or canoe camp? Michael, thanks a lot for the email.
Individuals in New Hampshire that are homeless or live in campgrounds but can prove that that location is their domicile, which means that's the place where they spend more time than anywhere else. It's where they conduct their – it's where they engage in civic duties and things like that, can claim that as their domicile for voting purposes.
I see if you could see if you're living at a homeless shelter, but Michael's living in a canoe. How do you prove that you've got a canoe domicile?
Well, again, usually a person that is using their canoe is constantly moving. I don't know where their base of operations that person's base of operations is, but it would be wherever that person keeps the rest of his stuff while he's out on a canoe. Whether it's in New Hampshire or in some other location.
Here's a question from Heather. She says, New Hampshire's a rural state. Most towns don't have a DMV. If you don't have an ID, then you don't drive. How is this a person supposed to get to a DMV for this free ID? There's no public transportation. And if the DMV isn't ready to issue these IDs, when will they be? There's less than 2 months until the general election. Heather, thanks for that. Two questions there then, Dave. How are people to get to the DMV for this free ID? There's no public transit. And then her second question is a good one, too.
So the law places the responsibility on the voter to get to DMV with their voucher in order to obtain a free voter ID. The expectation right now is that DMV will be ready to produce these sometime around the beginning of October. But in the meantime, it's really important that whether a person gets a voter ID or not, they still have the opportunity to vote simply by filling out the challenge voter affidavit in the general election this November.
And you've mentioned a couple times, Dave, the DMV isn't quite ready to issue these free IDs. When will they be? Do we know?
Right now, it looks like sometime in the beginning of October.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that email, Heather. Again, the email address for you to join us is exchange@nhpr.org. Our phone number is 1-800-892-6477. Dave, I'm guessing a lot of the questions we're getting from our listeners are questions you've been getting for quite a while now.
They are. We've heard them many times already.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot again for those emails. And we'll take more of your comments, questions, concerns after a short break. So stay with us.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the New Hampshire Institute of Politics and Political Library at St. Anselm College, New Hampshire's home for politics, online at anselm.edu/NHIOP. And the Altus Investment Group in Concord, helping individuals in central New Hampshire manage their old 401ks and develop a personal retirement plan, online at altusinvest.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
I'm Virginia Prescott. Discovering new ideas often means asking the right question.
What was the question?
That's the best question you can pull out of that stack.
How can I help you?
Word of mouth. Unexpected radio for the inquiring mind. Monday through Thursday at noon and again at 9 on NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Be sure to join us tonight at 8 for coverage of New Hampshire's primary election results. That begins tonight at 8. We'll bring you the latest results, who won, who lost. And tomorrow morning, we'll look at where these races go from here. That's tomorrow morning, live at 9 on The Exchange. Today, how New Hampshire's new voter ID law will affect the elections in November. The ID is not required in today's primary. Join our conversation with your questions at 1-800-892-6477. Dave Scanlon is with us for the hour. He's New Hampshire's Deputy Secretary of State. His office oversees state elections. Dave, right back to our listeners. Susan's waiting in West Lebanon. Hi, Susan. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Hi. I was going to ask two questions, and both have been answered. One was when was the Department of Motor Vehicles going to be ready? And I guess along those lines, he's saying sometime in early October. Is there anything in the law to protect the people with the vouchers from getting, less than a 10-day waiting, period between when the Department of Motor Vehicles is prepared and when the vote takes place, because it seems a little devious that they're not ready.
So they're not ready. Are you saying people need plenty of time, not just a week or 2 weeks to get this done? What are you saying there, Susan?
I guess what I'm saying is that if for some reason this law was really the result of trying to disenfranchise some people, as has been suspected, that it's coming from the GOP, the national GOP, trickling down to local areas. It's hit us. It's hit our state. We're a swing state. So now we're giving vouchers. And so what another impediment to disenfranchise these people is to say, yes, here's your voucher. Oh, but by the way, you're only going to have 48 hours to get your...
I see. So how much time will people have to get that ID? Dave, thanks a lot, Susan.
So you have to remember that this law didn't go into effect until actually July. And it does require some software changes and programming, and there is a process that is involved at DMV. And I know that they are working as hard as they can to get these IDs up and running so that they're available. We have asked clerks not to issue vouchers until the time that the Division of Motor Vehicles is ready to start issuing these IDs, because obviously we don't want voters to waste trips to DMV and not be able to obtain the ID. But again, the important thing to remember is whether a voter needs an ID and decides to take advantage of it or not, they still get to vote in the election. And all that's required in the general election is that they fill out a very simple challenge voter affidavit.
Will some people, Dave, feel intimidated by that? I don't want to be singled out. I don't want attention paid to me. The term challenged voter affidavit kind of has a negative feel to it.
Well, that may intimidate some voters. I think we just have to go through the process, follow the law as best we can, and we'll see how it plays out. No question in my mind that this is a major piece of legislation, and we're going to find bumps in the road along the way, and I'm sure the legislature will be back dealing with some of those next spring.
Right, and I'm sure you'll be reporting to them on what went well and what didn't,
yes,
go well. You know, this is a trend that's been happening nationally. About 30 states have voter ID laws similar to the one here in New Hampshire. And joining us now for a little bit more on that is Sue Vaughn Lee. She's a reporter for ProPublica. She's been covering the voter ID issue nationally. Sue Vaughn, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's about 30 states, right, that now have some form of voter ID laws.
That's correct. They've tried to, they've introduced them, and some of them definitely are on the books now.
You've written that the push for these laws, Sue Vaughn, is relatively new, just since the mid-2000s. What was behind that push?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of momentum since the 2000 election. A lot of these new bills have been introduced in state legislatures, and ever since the mid-2000s, we've seen more effectiveness in terms of them getting passed. And I think that's attributed to big Republican gains in some of these state legislatures around the country.
What's the range of these laws, Sue Vaughn? Without going into too much detail, in terms of how strict they are or how easy they are, because there's variety among the states, I'm sure.
Absolutely. We have strict photo ID laws where if you don't produce a photo ID at the poll, you couldn't even cast a provisional ballot. You'd have to come back within a certain amount of days and produce an actual ID in order to have your vote counted. Then there are other voter ID laws in which a photo ID is suggested, but it's not actually enforced in terms of having to produce one. And then there are other types of voting procedures that states have been implementing around the country.
And how many of these laws, just roughly, Sue Vaughn, are facing court challenges? I know that's been an issue.
There's currently one going on right now in Pennsylvania. The ACLU brought a lawsuit against the law. The case is actually going to be heard before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court this week. We saw Texas just file a petition with the state Supreme Court, with the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, when federal district court overturned or blocked their law. So there have been a few states, and we're seeing more of those appeals come to the front.
Okay, Sue Vaughn, thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us, and thanks for your work tracking these laws around the country.
Thank you.
That's Sue Von Lee, reporter for ProPublica. She's been covering this voter ID issue nationally. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at New Hampshire's new voter ID law, starting, as we've been saying, with the November election, not today's primary. Photo ID will be required at the polls. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. And Dave Scanlon, we got a couple comments on our Facebook page. Kimberly commented, she said, "I was required to show ID today, but in the interest of time, I didn't argue." Gary also posted, he says, "As the brainchild of the Tea Party, I'd be interested to know what the cost to implement voter ID will be." Gary, it's a good question, and Dave, I don't think we've covered that yet, so go ahead.
So the law, again, is phased in, and the cost will progress over time. Up until this point, the cost that's involved has basically been the training that has taken place with local election officials, which, again, has been minimal. We put on 10 training sessions around the state, and we had roughly 2,000 local election officials turn out for those trainings out of the roughly 6,000 that we have in New Hampshire. As the voter IDs are available from DMV, the Secretary of State's office is required to pay for those, and we estimate the cost is going to be somewhere between $5 and $10 per ID. At this point, we have no idea how many voters are going to need one of those IDs and how many of those voters will take advantage of obtaining a free ID. Numbers that we've heard range anywhere from a fraction of 1% up to 10% and higher. So that's a number that's a big unknown. And then as we move into later phases after the 2012 elections are over, there could potentially be significant costs involved. But we will be addressing those with the 2013 session of the legislature when they're crafting the next state budget.
So we don't know yet what the costs will be. As you know, Dave, the state budget was cut a lot over the past year in the face of a huge budget deficit. Still, it seems like this could be a costly venture. I'm wondering if New Hampshire's got the money to do it.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. You know, anytime the legislature passes, you know, what they think is good public policy, they have to be willing to pay for it. And so we'll see how this unfolds. And as we get more accurate estimates of costs, we'll certainly let the legislature know.
All right. Let's go back to our listeners. And Stephanie is calling in from Campton. Hi, Stephanie. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. My comment is that as I have listened to all of the discussion about the voter registration laws around the country, with the radicalization of the governing bodies, all I can say is that I cannot see any way that this is not an attempt to disenfranchise people who may not agree with you. And in this case, it tends to be people who struggle to participate. And it's sort of appalling to me as an American that we're doing this. My other comment is that the DMV seems to me to be a particularly onerous way, especially in New Hampshire, for people to participate here. For us to get a driver's license, we have to drive 50 miles. And there are a lot of people for whom that is just not possible.
Stephanie, so, let me ask you a quick question, and don't take this the wrong way, but it came up before, I think, when I was talking to Buzz Scher. So think about the right to vote, and we all feel that it's very important. What do you think, Stephanie, about the argument that, hey, the right to vote is huge, we cherish it, it's worth an inconvenience, it's worth maybe a couple dollars of gas to get to the DMV? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a pretty slick way to get over the fact that for many people, that isn't even an option. So what my thought was, why not make this something that you could get at the post office? I mean, that's certainly much more accessible to most people than the DMV in New Hampshire.
Or town hall. I was thinking about
or
that.
Or the town hall. Yes, yeah. Something that is local that doesn't require you to drive 50 miles.
Yeah, that's a great question. What do you think? Was this discussed, Dave Scanlon, when the bill was going around and around? She's right. DMVs are not accessible to everybody, but almost everybody can pretty easily get to their town hall or their post office.
This was discussed during the legislative process, and there were obviously two sides to this issue, pro and con. Our job, though, is to implement the statute. This is now a law, and you know, our goal is to make sure that it is implemented in a manner that has the least impact on the voters going through the polling place. Again, it's really important to remember that whether a person decides to use the voucher to go get a free voter ID or not, they still get to vote by either filling out the challenge voter affidavit or continuing to vote by absentee ballot.
And we talked earlier about the absentee balloting, especially for people living in nursing homes or something like that, for example. The challenged voter affidavit that you mentioned, we talked earlier about whether that would be intimidating for some folks. Are you saying, Dave, that if I chose for some reason not to get an ID, I could in 2012, in 2014, in 2016, continue to file a challenged voter affidavit? I could just keep doing that if I didn't feel like getting an ID?
That's right. The law right now allows that to continue in perpetuity.
Thanks for the call, Stephanie. And let's see if I can take another email. This is from Isaac. He says, does this mean out-of-state students can't vote even though they spend most of the year in New Hampshire? What is this, a double standard for older folks that go south for the winter? Isaac, thanks for the email. We talked earlier about students, but it's worth repeating what the laws say about them.
So the laws give students a choice on where they get to vote. They can only vote in one place, but they get to choose either to vote in the community that they're living in while they are going to college or from the community that they came from before they attended college.
So in other words, you can vote in New Hampshire if you're here the majority of the year.
That's right.
Yeah. What about, I'm just curious, I hadn't thought about this, so thanks, Isaac. What about older folks that go south the winter, the snowbirds who live in Florida part-time?
People that go south have to choose where their domicile is going to be. If they can establish and show evidence that New Hampshire is their domicile, that they actually live here more than any other place. It's where they engage in civic government. It's where their kids went to school or are going to school. Then their domicile is in New Hampshire. If the reverse is true, then their domicile is in Florida. If they live there 7 months of the year but come to New Hampshire in the summer, then the argument would probably be made that their domicile is Florida.
Isaac, thanks for the question. And let's take one more if we could, Dave. This is Norman in Sunapee. Hi, Norman. You're on the exchange. Go ahead.
Good morning. My thought was that the notification of people is my concern, and canoes notwithstanding. I don't think that the system allows an easy way to alert people. It seemed to me that just a caller before talked about using the post office or the town hall, especially the town hall from that part. But the other part about notification, I would suggest that it be pretty inexpensive, and I would hope it would be effective if there was made by the state a postcard size thing that gives all the information about the registration, how you get it, and why you get it, and when. And that could be delivered to the post offices and could be just part of the mailing that goes out to current resident, either by a post carrier or a P.O. box, where if the person oftentimes doesn't have a domicile, they do at least have a P.O. box to get their mail.
Right. Norman, thanks a lot for the call. It's a good point. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think that we're going to learn a lot during this primary election on how prepared voters are to comply with the new law, how much they're already aware of it. I think it's a great suggestion, though, if we need to do more outreach, just to do a general mailing off the statewide voter checklist. However, there is also an expense that goes along with that that I'm not sure is currently in our budget.
Yeah. Well, and we talked earlier, we don't really know how expensive this is going to be. Although I understand you're trying to educate people with today's primary, but one of our callers pointed out earlier that a lot of voters who will vote in November aren't going to vote today. So those efforts only go so far.
Right. And I would agree with that. And again, voters showing up at the polling place in November without their ID still get to vote. And the law is phased in so that, I think the goal of the legislature was that we'll ease into this, get voters used to it, so that by having them go through the process a couple of times that they'll get the hang of it in future elections.
What are you going to be looking for, Dave? Again, I know this is going to be a long day for you, and you're going to be watching what happens at the polls in terms of this law and how people are feeling about it, talking about it, getting educated about it.
We're going to be looking for how voters were treated at the polling place. We want to make sure that the local election officials understand their role in the process and that they allow voters to exercise their rights under this new law. And to the extent that we see problem areas, we will be doing more training on these issues with them, along with whatever efforts we conduct between now and the general election in November.
And then after the 2012 general election, as I understand, Dave, there are a couple changes in store. I know you haven't wanted to talk too much about 2013 and beyond, just focusing on getting through September and November. But just give us a quick preview. How are things going to change in 2013?
So after September 1st, 2013, the number of IDs will shrink at the polling place. But there will also be a requirement that a digital photograph be taken of a voter that does not present one of the acceptable forms of ID. And that photograph will be attached to the affidavit that the voter signs.
All right. Well, good luck today.
Thank you
very much for coming in again on this busy day for you, Dave.
My pleasure.
That's Dave Scanlon. Again, he's New Hampshire's Deputy Secretary of State. His office oversees state elections, among many other duties. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. And be sure to join us tonight at 8 o'clock when our election coverage of today's primary elections begins. Again, that's 8 o'clock tonight at NHPR. Tomorrow on The Exchange, we'll be sifting through the results for you, so join us tomorrow morning live at 9 for that. Our engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Samantha Johnson. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.